Social Security because you deserve to keep more of your hard-earned money. I also voted to fully fund our local schools, invest more in special education, and add new funding for Emporia State University to give students more opportunity. I'm Mark Schreiber. I ask for your vote on Tuesday, August 6th, or in advance starting July 17th. Paid for by Mark Schreiber for Kansas House, Cindy Lord, Treasurer.
KVOE, good morning, it's 825.
KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
KVOE News time is 825. We're pleased to have with us Lyon County Extension Agent Brian Reese. Talk a little bit about crop and livestock impacts from the heat we've had this week.
Brian, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing good. Thanks for taking some time to join us. We appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity. So, you know, we're hoping for a little bit cooler conditions and maybe some precipitation, but it does not sound like you've got that in the forecast.
Not for about a week, unfortunately. I guess we catch a bit of a break here from the humidity side of things today, and then we start getting back to the seasonal heat and humidity, and then the triple digits start rolling back in on Monday.
Back to Kansas summer.
Yeah,
huh?
There we go.
Kind of feels like it. Brian, how did livestock fare, especially for the first half of the week when we had, you know, the heat index readings anywhere from 105 to 110?
You know, one of the best things about this week, other than the fact that it was extremely warm, the best thing was we typically had some breeze most of the time. There was a couple times there yesterday morning, I think, it was just sort of calm. Wasn't a whole lot of breeze moving around. But really back when it was, you know, the hot 100-plus degree temperatures, there was some air moving. And unless livestock were in confinement, you know, if you were in a feedlot or a lot situation, most everything that was out on grass had a mechanism in place, either find some shade, find some water. You know, they were able to keep moving. The other good thing is, other than one of the nights, we actually did get some cooling overnight. We were down into the mid-low 70s. I think there was only one night that was pretty close to 80 degrees. The cattle especially had an opportunity to go ahead and lose some of that body heat that they may have accumulated during the day and get reset for the coming day.
Yeah, well, actually, we were pretty fortunate. A couple of the days, yeah, we had cloud cover longer than we were anticipating and had some shower activity, too, mixed in there as well. But so really only one totally, you know, from start to finish, really hot and humid day. So we kind of were able to skirt what could have been, I think, worse than it was. And
could have been a lot. Could have been a lot.
And we did
worse
get some moisture exactly last week too, Brian. Almost all told, almost an inch here.
It depends on where you were, and that's very typical again of Kansas in the summertime. Sort of spotty rains, and haven't really had a good general rain, and that's sort of been the case for the entire summer. Really, I mean, you think back even 1st of July, where what there was 8 to 10 inches up in the north end of the county, and the south end might not have had a half inch. It's a little bit concerning, but at the same time, you know, that's not that uncommon. You know, the 10 inches is, yes, but to have the variability in where it is, the spottiness of it. The one thing that we really would like to see is a runoff event. We're starting to get to the point that I haven't heard of any blue-green algae situations here locally. But it's been a while since we've had any fresh water, any runoff coming in to dilute any of those nutrients. The water temperature is working up. The conditions are getting more favorable for the formation of some blue-green algae. So I'd encourage anybody that's still got cattle out on pasture, livestock out on pasture, regardless, please be on the lookout. Watch those ponds. Again, I haven't seen or heard any reports of anything yet here in the immediate area, but again, we have had some precipitation, not any runoff events, but we've had some additions to those pond levels, be it a quarter or a half inch at a time, and so every time we do that, we provide a little more dilution of anything that's in there. So, you know, just be on the lookout, because the conditions are getting more favorable, especially if we happen to hit, you know, the 100 degree mark for a few days and no precipitation. So
Brian, before we shift over to crops, where are livestock, I guess, in their process? For folks that may not pay any attention other than the beef that gets on their plate, you know, as they go to the store, but where are they at here in the process, and how are they looking, you know, as far as where they should be at in their process?
Of course, the Flint Hills of Kansas, we have a lot of grazing in the summertime. Stocker cattle come in and they leave various times, the double stock season. There have been cattle shipping since the early part of July. And we're continuing to go ahead and move through that process. You know, there's some full season cattle that will still continue to ship throughout September, October. So that is not uncommon, but it is time. Most of the double stock cattle, from everything I've heard, 90-day cattle have or are leaving very near future. Gains, from what I've understood, have been pretty good. We've had really adequate moisture for good grass growth. It was a little slow starting off, as you know, we got hit last year, and I think we see that the last summer late, it was very dry. We didn't get a lot of regrowth as we ended the summer season in 23, and there wasn't enough energy put back into those roots late in the fall, and so it was just a little slower and a little weaker starting off this spring. And so the early season gains I don't think were quite as good, but as the summer's progressed, we've been able to go ahead and maintain. And from those that I've talked with, it sounds like the gains have been pretty good coming off grass.
Lyon County Extension Ag Agent Brian Reese with us on our Newsmaker 2 segment this Friday morning. Before we look at the crop situation here in the Lyon County area, you have got a busy couple of weeks ahead, Brian, with the Lyon County Fair and 4-H activity, and there will be a lot of livestock hoofing it out at the Lyon County Fair beginning, what, next Thursday?
Next Thursday is the day that we check everything in. Everything's supposed to be on the grounds. By 3 o'clock, we'll start getting everybody weighed and hopefully have everything weighed in by, I don't know, I think we're supposed to end up someplace in the 5:30, 6 o'clock range. I don't remember exactly what time that'll end, but everything will be weighed, and the beef show will be Friday morning.
Yeah.
The sheep and goat show will be Saturday morning. The swine show will be Sunday morning. And then round robin showmanship will be Monday morning, followed by the premium sale Monday evening.
And Monday night, yeah.
Yep. Everybody will be out of there by very early Tuesday morning is typically when we get the cattle shipped.
What about the heat? I know it's going to be in the low to mid-90s, so I guess we'll be cooling to the low to mid-90s. Let's put it that way.
You know, we are pretty blessed with the grounds that we have, and I will say that our livestock entry numbers are down, especially compared to what they were 5 to 10 years ago. It wasn't that long ago that we had to have, just from the number of entries that we had to have two animals per pen, especially on the swine side of things. This year, we are still going to have some empty pens, but every pig will have a pen. So spacing those animals out again will help. And, you know, the kids get pretty good about moving those animals down, taking them down to the wash rack, rinsing them off. And, yeah. And you know, about the second trip, those pigs know where they're going when that gate opens up. And they want to go. So, you know, sheep, goats dissipate heat a little bit better. The cattle, the beef barn has a big high ceiling. It's open to the south, so if there is any breeze, we do get some good air movement going through there, and of course it's mostly shaded. So we really get by pretty well with ample space in our facilities that we have here, and I'm fortunate the Fair Board does a nice job of keeping everything up.
Yeah, good.
Crops, how are they looking right now countywide? I, you know, just kind of had a chance to drive out a couple of weeks ago, and things look like they were, especially on the corn side, looking pretty strong.
They were looking pretty strong, and then you shut the rain off and made it get hot. And that tended to shut some things down a little bit, and then actually saw that there's been some folks around doing a little bit of silage. Think that the top end has been taken off the corn. I think that we've shortened up the kernels a little bit because it got hot. We did have pears that we had really good conditions for pollination, And so I think that there are still some fields that are, at this point in time, I'm going to guess that we're, by and large, going to be above average on our corn yields. I don't think it's going to be, no way it'll be any kind of record yields this year. And one of the main reasons for that is because we didn't have the stand uniformity starting off the season that we had last year. And said it many times last year, I thought that up until about the 10th of June, 15th of June last year in 23, we had as good a looking crop or prospect for crop as I could remember, because we just had such good emergence and uniformity in stands, both in corn and soybeans. This year we didn't have that uniformity, but we had some better, more timely rainfall, and we've had a little bit more carrying on through. So I think we're going to have some pretty good yields, but I think we've probably lost the top, I'd say we've probably lost the top 5 to 10%, just to back it down a little bit.
How's the winter wheat been?
The wheat was very good for the most part. You know, of course, there were some situations that, you know, obviously there's things that are bad, but there were many individuals that I've spoke with that were better than 70 bushel wheat, and some numbers that got to be considerably better than that. You know, there were some 80s, 90s. There was even some folks talking about three digits. So, again, whether that was monitor numbers, whether those were weighed bushels, you know, whether the acres were measured, you know, those things we don't know for sure. But anyway, there was a lot of really good wheat with pretty good test weight on it as well. So the quality maintained. And again, it's a matter that we had some timely rains, really didn't have any tremendously excessive rains. I know there were a few folks that were struggling to finish up wheat harvest because of some rainfall events there in the middle part of June. If wheat wasn't quite ready to harvest and then caught a couple of those rains, sort of backed it up, and I think that we lost a little bit of the test weight at that point in time. But the majority of the wheat that came out of here was really good yields with good quality conditions. And as the price continued to go down, then you needed more bushels to go ahead and make that pay out.
Well, Brian, we are going to kind of cut things short now. There's a couple of other questions I'd like to ask you, but I'll loop back with you here in just a little bit. But really appreciate your time, and hopefully the heat that comes in to blast us next week really doesn't throw things really for a loop either with crops or livestock.
Let's see what we can do, and hope that the forecast holds true for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And, you know, if we can end up someplace in the low 90s or maybe even the upper 80s, it'd make things really special.
Yeah. All right. So, well, we'll see you out at the fairgrounds, Brian.
Sounds fabulous. Thank you very much, and thank you guys for the support that you do at the Lyon County Fair.
You betcha. Glad to have Brian Reese, Lyon County Extension Ag Agent, with us on our Newsmaker 2 segment here on a Friday morning, day number 2 of the month of August, as we welcome to our studios Mr. Phil Taunton, host of What's In Outdoors. Phil, good morning. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, Ron. I tell you, it was an awful pretty drive down here to Council from Council Grove this morning.
Still green out there, isn't it?
A lot of memories coming down here. A lot of memories standing here in the station. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Costa Rica. Last week, we were at the outlet at the Spillway at Council Grove, and I do have some big news coming from that area. A piebald catfish was caught.
A piebald blue cat.
And it's unheard of in that area, but we'll get into that a little bit more. We got to announce the winners of this summer-long Family Fun Fishing Contest, because I know some parents are listening. They just want that child to win that lifetime hunting and fishing license.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know I'd want mine to get that. That's a $500 bill, right?
Yeah, no kidding. That's big time.
But we do have Doak Pyle 8. Called a crappie in Council Grove Lake, so he will be getting a certificate and an award certificate. We have Annie Welch, 8, another catfish from Council Grove Lake. And a blue cat is different than a channel cat, Ron, and this is where some bodies of water has different regulations. So this is where I'm big on trying to let people know when to catch it. They need to know what they caught, just because it might come into play. So with our sunfish is John Smithheiser. He's, I think, a two-time winner this year. Mother's a teacher there at Riverside, and caught a sunfish there at Camp Alexander. And goodness, do they continue to do good outdoor programs there at Camp Alexander.
Nice job.
Okay. Anything Goes is a snapping turtle. That's Eli Mushrush from Chase County. And I don't know who's frowning the most in that picture, but his name was drawn either Eli or a snapping turtle. I'd be frowning too if I was holding that turtle. And then here's another two-time winner this year is Newt Fox with a smallmouth bass. And Ron, this is what I like this contest so much. Newt's father, Matt, took him back to Coal Creek, Indiana, to fish a stream that he and his paw fished when they was a kid.
Oh, nice.
So keep those entries coming. We got to one more weekly drawing, and then we'll be awarding our major winners.
All right, so where can we find the entry information, Phil?
Well, I think we got several flyers up. We have on several social media platforms. Our main thing is just email me a picture of your catch, age of the child, and where the fish was caught at Youth Fishing Kansas, KS, youthfishingks.com, gmail.com, or give me a call at 620-794-5373, and we'll get your entry in.
All right. You've had a ton of entries again this year. Great contest. And you've given away a lot of prizes, a lot of good prizes out there, Phil.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I just looked at my phone today, and this wasn't part of a contest. I give a fella a couple fishing poles for kids up in Lincoln, Kansas, and he texted me a picture of a boy that caught a real nice bass, and he wondered, could he get that in the contest? So I said, just send me an email or a text, and we'll get it in there.
All right, so you're in town. What you're headed to the Battle of the Badges, huh?
Yes, that's one of the things, Ron. When I lost Myrna to cancer and started giving blood and realized the need for blood, I never knew that here I could even do that. And it's a learning deal. And when you have someone that's being treated and they need a blood transfusion and you drive to Kansas City, and they tell you, well, we just don't have that combination today. We need to get back with you. It will make you do things, Ron.
Yeah, indeed. So that's a valid point. So, give blood, save lives. That's exactly how that works. So that's at the 12th Avenue Baptist Church, going on day number 3 of the Battle of the Badges. Blood drives, donate blood, save lives. So how are things out the marinas? You have a pretty good summer out there?
Yes, we're really going. Boats are, we got a couple of mechanics that are working there, keeping things going. The marina does have one more event coming up. It'll be a lizard skin karaoke on August 10th. We do have some big events coming up in September. It's the Jordan Lee Miller Ripping Lips Catfish Tournament.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm going to do a story on the blue cat that was caught, because it's a rarity that they're caught in Council Grove. Now, if you go to Milford, maybe a few in El Dorado, the piebalds are really prevalent there. And I know, talking to the fisheries biologist, and what he's going to help me with the story, it's rare that they were in Council Grove. So it's either got in there some kind of way, but we're thinking that it might have swam all the way up from John Redmond Reservoir during the high water. So you're talking, what, 70 miles upstream? So that's working on a story. And then
that's interesting.
Really got some good things coming on at Payrock. There'll be more on that. Yeah. September 28th is going to be our Vamose Pescar program. And this year we're going to add an element of hunter education in it. There is a hunter education class coming on up at New Strawn. So if you need someone to get into a class, just go to safehunters.com, and they'll let you know about that class there, and that you'll register online.
All right, Phil Totten, the summer-long family fun fishing contest update here this morning. More prize winners. Been a great summer. A lot of entries. A lot of kids getting outside for a better inside, as Phil puts it. Phil's back next week right here at KVOE, live and local. Good morning. It's 8:43.
Make sure you take in this year's Lyon County Fair. The fair always offers great family fun with merchant booths, 4-H exhibits, animals, grandstand events, and, of course, the carnival. The following merchants encourage you to enjoy this year's fair. The City of Emporia, a vibrant and welcoming community nestled in the heart of the scenic Flint Hills. Farm and Home Real Estate, make your dreams of owning your own home a reality. Find your perfect home or property today. Visit farmandhomecompanies.com. Emporia Livestock Sales. They'd like to congratulate all of the 4-H'ers on their hard work in this year's Lyon County Fair. Moon Title and Escrow at 421 Commercial in Emporia. Eric Thomas, Brian Portner, and staff wish all Lyon County Fair participants good luck. and by Dr. Todd Detweiler, family physician, who believes that participation in extracurricular activities promotes a healthy lifestyle.
John North Ford, a great deal better.
Mark Sugar Schaefer out here at John North Ford Nissan. Manufacturers' rebates and incentives keep getting better. Financing as low as 0% on a lot of models. Have a great selection of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs that change daily. If you're in the market for a nicer, newer vehicle, come out and take a test drive with Mark Sugar Schaefer.
This is a special report from ABC News. Americans back home. I'm Sherry Preston, a captive of the Kremlin one day with their families the next. That's what's happening for the Americans freed in the largest prisoner swap since the Cold War this week. ABC